Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 729 in your hymnals. And we read Isaiah 9, beginning at verse 1. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light dawned. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. The second reading is found in 1 Corinthians. It's on page 1218 in your pew Bibles. And we read 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1034. And we read Matthew 4, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, especially these initial words. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? This is our text. In case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of divisions in our culture today. People quarreling about this and that and the other thing. And the question as to how can we find peace among us is an important question. But there are different solutions proposed by different people. Some of the solutions proposed come from a philosophy that in order to get along, we just have to agree to disagree. And when you have Thanksgiving dinner, you will not talk about politics or religion or you'll be shot. We just agree to disagree and we don't talk about it. But I'm not sure that's working. Well, Paul, in our epistle lesson for today, proposes a different solution. And it's rooted in this idea, though he asks the question, we'll say it positively. Christ is not divided. And therefore, those who are in Christ will not be divided either. If that is, they remain firmly rooted in him. If it is his heart that guides us, and not the heart that, if you will, we were born with. But even, if you will, in the religious world, to some, that's a foreign idea. That, if you will, as Paul describes, that we can be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Long ago, when I was going to seminary and living in St. Louis, I saw an advertisement for another church body. It was literally a full-page ad in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Probably cost them a pretty penny. And if you will, if you look up this particular denomination, you can still find sentiments that are reflected in what I'm about to read it to you. But this is an advertisement for one particular church body, the Unitarian Universalists. We have one here in town. Reading from their ad, you feel you are essentially out of step with conventional religious ideas. You have difficulty accepting those absolute truths and rigid dogmas you were told you had to believe. And you're probably a little tired of being made to feel guilty because you have honest questions. If these sentiments express where you're coming from, relax. You are not alone. We're the Unitarian Universalists. We've been around for a long time. We don't feel that any person, any book, or any institution should tell you what you must think. We have no doctrines and dogma that you must accept. We believe that truth is ever evolving. So we remain open to new scientific revelations and philosophical insights. We are more concerned with the essential goodness of people and not some inherent sinfulness. They probably wouldn't have enjoyed the confession we make here on a regular basis. We are more concerned with the here and now rather than a hereafter. Does this sound like the kind of religious home you've been looking for? I hope not. But you know, it is the kind of home a lot of people are looking for. Until, you know, just this last week, I was visiting with one of our members called to eternal rest. Had a great conversation with her as we shared her last communion here on this earth. And now she's celebrating that feast with Christ in heaven. During our visit, we weren't concerned a lot with the here and now because she knew it was coming to an end. But you know what was really neat? We weren't really concerned about the hereafter either. Because we have, if you will, a rigid dogma and belief that Christ Jesus died and he rose again. And he did that so that when we die and stand before God, we don't have to be concerned with how he's going to be judging us. Because he already did on the cross. That wasn't Jesus' sins that Jesus was paying for. It was ours. When he cried out, "It is finished," our judgment was complete. And when he rose again, our eternal destiny in Christ was guaranteed. God willing, you also do not worry about the hereafter. Not because you're not sure if there is one, but because you know there is. And you know what your life will be. What a comfort and hope Christ brings to us. Because, as the Gospel of John describes, when he came into this world, he brought with him grace and truth. Not a truth that's ever evolving. Not a truth that changes with new scientific revelations. But a truth that is unchanging and eternal. As the author of Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when people are in Christ, and if you will, in that word which Christ has brought to us, it does change our hearts and our minds. And it does bring a peace that is in stark contrast to all the divisions that exist in our world today. About 15 years ago, Baylor University down in Texas, I believe, conducted what is to date the largest survey of religious beliefs ever conducted in history. They asked individuals over 100 questions about their beliefs. And the questions ranged from doctrinal matters to, if you will, cultural matters, political matters. They asked atheists, Jews, Christians, Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, you know, everybody they examined. And they were looking for, if you will, questions that were predictive of how people would answer other questions. And when it came to, if you will, the political questions that they had in their survey, they found one religious question that predicted how people were going to ask all or answer all the political questions. And you know what that question was? And it came as actually quite a surprise to them. Because it didn't matter if you were a Catholic, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or any other, if you will, religious denomination. It didn't matter if you were male or female. It didn't matter if you were quite wealthy or poor. If you answered this one question affirmatively, most of the other questions that seemed to divide us disappeared. And you know what that question was? Do you believe that all Scripture is the inspired Word of God? No matter where you came from, rich, poor, male, female, obviously, probably no atheists agreed with that question. But in terms of all the other religious denominations in the United States that have some kind of Christian or even Jewish background, if you answer that question affirmatively, most of the things that we're arguing about today, if you will, outside of Scripture, seem to disappear. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14, and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. He gives to us a heart that is different from the heart that we are born with. He doesn't want us, if you will, to follow what our hearts would tell us to do. Because in contrast to what some denominations teach, we are inherently sinful. But in Christ, we are given a new heart. And he accomplishes that through the work of the Holy Spirit in the Word and in the sacraments. And when we make his heart our heart, the things that seem to so divide us will disappear. Self-interest is replaced by love and service to each other. Concerns about the here and now fade, and our focus becomes the hereafter. And we don't wonder about what we need to be repentant of and what we don't need to repent of. God has always already supplied us with that information. And we don't need to be concerned with worry or guilt or doubt or fear, because we know our future is sure as Christ is raised from the dead and lives and reigns with God. Is Christ divided? No, he's not. And when we make it our goal to live in him with those who also have the heart of Christ, our divisions will cease. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.